Welcome. Welcome to the Art Food Podcast with your host, me, Ergo Josh. Here, I want to create a comfortable place to share my thoughts with you and other creatives that I meet along the way. We'll talk about my thoughts on art, philosophy, technology, psychology, and the connections that I discover between them here on my journey as a visual artist. Let's talk a little bit more about your artwork and AI. I don't know about you, but I've had some random thoughts popping into my head recently. I've been having some mood swings, and I feel like my artwork is worthless sometimes because of the constant updates I see with AI art out there all over the internet. Honestly, I should take a little bit of a break, right? But I think it's easy for anyone to kind of start feeling like things are pointless with how good AI art is getting these days. One of my friends even showed me what someone was able to do by really bending the rules and nearly getting banned, but even with all that risk, the results were pretty impressive. Feng Zhu, an extremely skilled professional concept artist and instructor, recently released an awesome video breaking down how AI still can't even come close to replacing concept artists. I really recommend you check it out. His series is called Design Cinema. However, even then, it's still easy to get these random feelings here and there like your artwork doesn't really matter, especially as an independent artist myself who's still making a name for myself out there with my own style. To be specific, sometimes part of me is like, what's the point of even learning how to draw detailed anatomy anymore? What's the point of me sharing my artwork online when there's a million other posts out there that's accessible with a click of a button? It's already hard enough to figure out how to be unique and build your own audience and brand identity as an independent artist before AI. A lot of people think I have it easy because I have a lot of subscribers, but it's one thing to get known for teaching art, but I still have a ways to go before my artwork really speaks for itself to the same degree as my own personality and content does here on YouTube. However, never fear, because like I just said, as an educator and inspirator, motivator, Ergo Josh is here. I've made some huge discoveries lately that I hope will encourage you as well, and all these doomsday viewpoints don't have to be true for you, or at least true for very much longer. You can still make artwork today that is amazing and catches people's attention right now. So today, I want to share with you how I took a relatively boring sketch of mine that I abandoned for months and turned it into something exciting. Something that has meaning and purpose for me. Something that contends with even the best AI art out there. Now, it's not done yet, but I know it's going to be awesome. I'm really excited to share it with you all, especially on my website and on my Instagram page. It's going to be a banger, and it's all because of AI's one crippling weakness that I don't think it's going to be able to overcome for at least the next decade just because of how hard it is and also because of human greed. So, I want to share with you the entire process of me transforming my sketch. When I started this illustration back in January, I was just copying from a reference and going with the flow, which honestly is not a bad way to start, don't get me wrong, but I quickly got really overwhelmed. I had tons of different ideas flowing in and out of my head, and eventually I just burned out and stopped working on it. I didn't run out of creativity, I didn't forget how to draw, and honestly, I did get a little bit busy, but that didn't matter because what I really needed was a reason to finish it. Something to get me excited about it again. Something that would eventually translate to a significant emotional connection with my audience. I realized that the only way to save this illustration was to regroup and come back with a plan of action. I know I'm not the only one who runs into this problem where you lose direction and focus midway on a drawing or painting, and eventually you lose all motivation to finish the artwork itself. How many WIPs, work in progress, do you have in your sketchbook, or closet, or your Procreate gallery? So to help illustrate things, we're going to do a breakdown where we look at how to strategically select and organize different references in Milanote. And then I'll share with you some thoughts about how I transformed this work in progress into an exciting illustration that takes advantage of AI art's greatest weakness, coming up soon. And then we'll get into a little bit more of my thoughts and discoveries on AI and how fast it's progressing, but also how it really isn't that impressive when you look past the sensational headlines and all the busybodiness and the excitements and the rushing to get out products. I mean, we just saw two products come out that really weren't impressing anybody. There's a lot of products coming out these days that are just hype, and then they disappear and fall off the map. So the first thing I had to do was to stop everything I was doing on my illustration and set a time limit to gather as many references as I could that felt like they could help me figure out a direction to go with for the illustration. It's very likely that you'll look for references multiple times throughout your illustration, but setting the mood first can have dramatic impacts on your final result. However, I'm not going to lie, I just found a few references on Instagram from a cosplayer that just were perfect for the look I was going for. So as much as I recommend that you take time to think about what you're doing and look for references in the beginning, allow yourself to be open to finding things in your day-to-day life, online or in the real world as you're working on it. This is a concept that I actually go into more detail in my Procreate course. You can check that out on my website at www.ergojosh.com. I suggest that when you take time in the beginning to gather your references and images, try to stick with those until you make some significant progress on your project. But I want you to think beyond just how something might look. You might want to even find a song or album cover to get you in the mood for the painting. A YouTube link or playlist might be a great thing to include as well, because it could capture a group of scenes altogether that you may want to draw inspiration from. Pun intended. What we're going to be doing is a lot more than just a simple mood board. We're going to set constraints that will help us effectively complete our illustration without going back and forth and then breaking our creative flow to search for random images here and there just because we get frustrated. So once you've gathered some images to start with, it's time to organize them. And for this, I highly recommend that you use a hierarchical structure. For this example, I actually organized my references into four main groups. With each group, I recommend that you prioritize high to low level ideas to maximize your efficiency and ensure that you're thinking about your concept from every angle. They may not be exactly what I use here today, but I want to share them with you so that you can get an idea for what might work for you. When I say high level, think macro, big ideas and overarching concepts. For low level, think of extremely specific ideas and details, like specific types of chain links or the correct anatomy for the back of a knee or for a specific hand pose. Here are four different groups that I found best for me with this illustration. The first one is mood, tone, and color. Then composition, lighting, and perspective, followed by one for props, details, and specific textures and materials. And finally, a group that's dedicated to images for artistic inspiration, including my own artwork. So going back to the beginning of this sketch, I started off pretty well, but I quickly got derailed and lost in all of the different options that were available to me. The initial sketch and shading eventually became really confused and misdirected, and I had a lot of conflicting ideas and light sources and just kept sketching all over the place, and that just frustrated me and led to me abandoning it for months. It's May now, and I started this illustration technically in January, so that's quite a while. Now let's get into a little bit more of my thoughts on what it means to really push yourself and develop yourself as an artist amidst all of these new inventions, really, with AI. Taking your art more seriously, as if you're Takeshi Murakami, for example, with tons of different people working on your idea and helping you bring it to life in your gigantic studio, is really important, because that's how you get to that point in the first place. It's not that you wait until you have enough money to have access to all of those different resources first. So now you're watching me really take the design process further with this illustration and take it from an average sketch to a value study to something that's really exciting and has a lot of motifs and things for everyone to enjoy and maybe dislike, which is just as good because remember, being polarizing is an excellent way to get traction with your artwork. I'm actually really excited to jump back into it once I'm done editing this video. As a real quick personal plug here, if you join my Patreon, you'll get access to all the files I used for this illustration, along with the Procreate time-lapse footage. I'll also make the entire process of the screen recording available on my website for purchase so that you can see exactly step-by-step how I did everything, including all the mistakes. It'll be a lot of footage, but I have this really cool process where I use software to eliminate every single second that I'm just waiting so that you can see a really nice streamlined process where I'm constantly working on stuff, but it's also not too fast. It just naturally seems sped up because I remove all of the dead time, so it's just a really nice experience to watch. And it's all at 60 frames per second, so you can slow it down half speed, and it still looks pretty decent. You can see a free demo on my website if you want to check it out. So, with this illustration, there were a few things that I knew were going to automatically give me an edge once I published it. And when you combine all of these things together, you will get the reason why I believe I can stand out amongst any AI art generated piece because of the weakness that I've been talking about that AI art has. So the first one may surprise you, but it's really the lack of clothing on the main character. You see, it's pretty difficult to get AI or any machine learning software to generate a human body without clothing due to the censorship limitations everywhere online. However, I did need to make sure that this illustration was PG enough for the sponsor and also for the YouTube algorithm, so it's not going too far here. But even without showing the private parts, quote-unquote, it would still be flagged for nudity if I were to put this into Midjourney, for example, and tell it to describe what it sees. It would just immediately be like, nope, I see this person doesn't have a shirt on. It's rejected. It's super annoying. So it's pretty much near impossible to get this type of result at this fidelity with the publicly available machine learning or AI art algorithms out there. The next factor is simply painting a black character. Now, bear with me for a moment. I know some people are triggered right now. I'm not blaming any person or trying to say this is somebody's fault or blah, 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 but the fact of the matter is, black characters, black people in different settings and stuff like this, just all sorts of different images that you can search online, are not really common because there's just not as much content of it out there compared to the rest. And when you do tend to find artwork and photography featuring people with melanated skin, it's not so bad these days, but just like 10 years ago, you would only find really common and played out tropes and concepts. And you'd really, really have to dig really hard to find some unique stuff. But I won't get too much into that because that's a whole social discussion. I knew that having a black character as a water nymph would be something different. For example, search water nymph on Google Images and scroll down. I'm doing it right now, and every single image I see, every character, photography or artwork, is female and has very light and fair skin. Sometimes it's blue, sometimes it's green, right? But there's no clear representation of different types of races, like the classic dark elf type stuff, right? So I'm still scrolling, and now finally I find a black character on this image here. So if it took me that long to find one on Google Images, me posting my own artwork online is already going to be something different and is going to make me stand out. See, all I'm doing here is taking something that hasn't been introduced into a certain group and mixing it together. This is kind of my secret sauce to everything that I do and my success that I'm sharing with you guys here for free in this video. Take one idea from one corner of the world and another idea from another corner and smash them together in a really cool way. And you'll find that you can create something that everyone is like, wow, that's really cool. That's interesting. And it will have polarity and it will create traction and movement, and you can get your name out there. To take things even further, I found a reference of a mermaid woman in a swampy lake environment holding an apple when I was looking for more references in general on Pinterest. It just so happened that her hand was in the perfect position for me to copy it into my drawing here. And the type of pose that this character is in at this point is simply just too complex for AI to be able to copy, because it really isn't thinking yet. Even putting this drawing into the type of AI that takes your line work and fills it in with a photograph or image, it couldn't understand the hand, and it could not understand that it was holding an apple. It's just too complicated for it. No matter how much I tried to simplify it, it wouldn't work. I won't show any of the examples, unfortunately, here, because Chrome actually has next to no nudity limitations, and it gets a little bit trigger happy. Let's just say that. But if you follow the link to my Milanote board, you can see some of the images that I generated from Chrome AI to help me figure out the colors. So let's get technical with AI here, right? Because AI stands for artificial intelligence, but that's not really a correct term for what we're using here, because it isn't intelligent. It isn't thinking yet. It doesn't have a consciousness. It's just taking from what it has available to it and mixing it together with different algorithms. It's like the YouTube algorithm. The YouTube algorithm isn't sitting down in a chair with glasses and a Toblerone saying, I am the YouTube algorithm, and this Ergo Josh guy, I've been watching him for a while. He's doing pretty good content. You know what? I'm going to promote his channel, and I want him to reach more artists. I think he has exactly what the art community needs right now. If only the YouTube algorithm actually thought that way, right? But no. In reality, the YouTube algorithm is just looking at the data that it's given, following its programming, and then endlessly conducting various tests and experiments to consistently try to achieve and then surpass its predetermined directives that are probably tweaked every single day. YouTube is just one thing, though. Let's look at the most powerful example of AI computing on the planet right now. NVIDIA is mostly known for their gaming GPUs among us consumers, right? But they've been working with big tech companies for decades now, and lately they've been making a lot of the microchips that Tesla uses in their self-driving cars, for example. Just last month, however, or 2 months ago in March, NVIDIA has completely overtaken everyone else in the AI race with their new Blackwell B200 chip that they released in March 2024. It's a GPU, but still counts. They report that it can provide 20 petaflops of AI performance. Now, that means nothing to most people, right? And it didn't mean anything to me before this video. But to put it in perspective, one petaflop is about 1 quadrillion operations per second. That is 1 with 15 zeros after it. That is a lot of zeros. 1 billion, right? That's a big number. That only has 9 zeros after it. So that is a lot of operations, which means that that chip is extremely fast. But guess what? That still doesn't even come close to what the human brain can do. The National Institute of Standards and Technology estimates that our brains can perform 1 exaflop of operations per second. That word also means nothing, right? But let me break it down. That is a 1 with not 9, not 15, but 18 zeros after it. Or in other words, 1 billion billion. So you take a billion and a billion of those, that's how many operations our brain can do per second. That comes out to being 50 times faster than the new B200 chip. Now, if you're like me, you may be thinking, okay, 50 times, that's not a big deal. It's not too impressive, right? I'm sure NVIDIA will match that in a few years. And you'd be right, because they actually report that their latest chip, the B200, is 30 times faster than the last one that they released. So it's pretty accurate to assume they'll be able to achieve that soon. However, let me also tell you that one B200 chip uses about 1200 watts of power. People don't really run on electricity, right? But you can still calculate how much power your body uses to function every day. And it just so happens that the human brain runs on 20 watts of power. Just 20. So no matter how much you want to cut it, the processing power that robots or AI will be able to achieve even within the next decade simply isn't even going to compete with humanity at all. And regardless of any individual chip's ability to process data, you still have to find a way to integrate it into the actual manufacturing process and write code for it. Right now, the biggest companies and brands in the world aren't doing that because they have to find a way to make money with it. They could just add ChatGPT into macOS or Windows, but they won't do it because they want to make their own and they want to make it profitable. So they're taking forever and they're going to handicap it. That in and of itself is going to slow it down. Even with all of the different AI assistants today, you can ask them a question and it won't even answer you. It'll just be like, here's a web page I found on Wikipedia. It's like, come on. It seems like everything is just going to disappear and we're all going to lose our jobs, but they can't do anything yet. Marques Brownlee, one of the most popular tech YouTubers here, did a video nearly ripping a certain AI product to shreds. It really shows how long we have to go before AI is actually useful like it is in the movie Her. Love that film, by the way. You should check it out because that is actually a really good example of how I think AI can be useful. But, you know, it always has to become a doomsday thing. I think a lot of people don't factor in that your mind, your brain, isn't even equivalent to a microchip right now. It is the culmination of everything that you've experienced up to this point. Everything from every memory you have has influenced who you are today, and it helps create the probably billion of billion miles long of a prompt that basically defines who you are. Now, we do have computers that can somewhat surpass the human brain right now, and they're called supercomputers. And what they are is just a lot of these different microchips combined together. That ends up making them extremely large, and they take up a lot of space and use a lot of energy. Fun fact, the best one out there right now, it's a little bit behind because it's so expensive to make, is called the Frontier Computer. And it can do pretty much the same amount of calculations that the human brain can, but it's made up of 74 different cabinets of CPUs and GPUs, thousands of them, and it all together weighs over 3 tons. Another fun fact is that if you were to take the human brain and have 1,000 of them on a weight scale, it would still be less weight than that. It would only be 1.25 tons. And again, according to the National Institute of Standards and Technology, the Frontier Computer uses 1,000,000 times more power than the human brain does. So all of us that are worrying about AI robots and all that taking over the world, they don't have a giant facility attached to them to be able to power the hardware required to be able to run as many calculations as our brain can. That's why robots are always stuttering and looking like they're super hyped up on coffee, because they don't have the processing power to be able to handle adjusting every single tiny little motor necessary to just stand up straight. On top of all that, when you compare the information coming out with the faked AI achievements that even giant corporations like Google and Amazon have made, it really puts everything into perspective. And you see how everyone is just rushing and running around with this AI buzzword trying to impress investors and make some quick cash, but it's not even really here yet. People don't seem to realize that the human brain is the most advanced portable supercomputer out there. And let me tell you, it took a while for it to be released into the public. It's been worked on and tweaked and fine-tuned for quite a while. like billions, over billions of years here, right? It took a while to make. So the amount of processing power that the human brain can perform is why we can walk, talk, run and jump, dance and sing with grace. It's why we can use the delicate tools that we need to create art and even design these microchips in the first place. And it's why even the best robots, like I mentioned, can't even stand up or run and jump without shaking and falling over and breaking their knees open, like the poor Boston Dynamics robots, but I love those things. It's why we can come up with new solutions to even the most incredible problems that we face every day. It's why our creativity is limitless. So you don't have an excuse. Keep making art. Ergo Josh is telling you right now, AI art is not in your way, and it never was. Now, getting back into the art side of things, I mentioned taking advantage of something that could really help anyone stand out against AI art. Everyone knows that nothing is perfectly original, right? But you can still create something that's extremely, exceedingly rare. I think it's actually said that across the entire human race, that there's only about 6 or 7 people that will have a face that's nearly identical to yours, even though you're not related. And there's almost 8 billion people out there. So that's extremely rare. And I guarantee you, most of those people aren't going to be artists. So like I explained a moment ago, AI art doesn't really think yet, right? All it does is create a hodgepodge, a sort of like melting pot of whatever is in extreme abundance on the internet. And if you spent any time online in the past few years, you've seen how much people just copy, 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 and rehash things all the time, right? If you want to find something unique and special by just searching the internet, you're going to have to look for quite a while and dig pretty deep sometimes. All you really need to do to stand out is to look within and follow your intuition, right? Because that's going to give you the best chance at finding a way to take ideas from different places and put them together in a really compelling way, because only you have your perspective on the world. There has never been a you before, and there will never be a you exactly the same way as you exist right now in this moment ever again. I guarantee you that. Then you can just focus on your own unique strengths and viewpoints and create something that isn't already super common and popular. Something that maybe today might not be so successful, but tomorrow could be popular because it's not part of the massive amount of data that all of these AI softwares are already pulling from. Let me get into something that's really interesting here. If you type in certain things like water nymphs on Midjourney and get some results, but then type in black water nymphs, you're going to see the quality of the content that Midjourney generates actually completely plummet. Right? And it's not because Midjourney is racist. There's just literally not enough images that it has access to figure out how do you create a black water nymph. Like it is so obvious, right? So that shows you how much AI is strictly just a rehash of everything that is popular and common. Just do something that isn't done so much, and AI can't replicate that, because all it does is copy what has been copied and copied and copied. All right. I think it's important in every industry right now to niche down and get good at what you're good at. It's about finding your unique strengths and double down on them in a way that will not only make a name for yourself, but could help you make a living as a creative entrepreneur or singer or whatever, or an independent artist like myself. Take a look at your interests. What are the most opposing things that you have some surprising knowledge in? Combine them. I love to use mental health ideas and philosophy and psychology to help me write my YouTube videos and apply them to art, and it helps me stand out and make some really profound achievements with my own work. You probably have something too that doesn't have to be so bookish and academic. It could be anything, but your unique perspective or viewpoint could be something that could really bring a lot of much needed value to the world. So there you have it. Our illustration is near completion and it's looking awesome. It pulls you in and it starts to play on some interesting themes with Adam and Eve and all that. No relation to Stellar Blade though, even though I'm loving that game. and it even gets into some kind of like siren-y temptation vibes as well. We have a robust guide to finish everything, especially with the colors, and we even have the inspiration to go forward and really finish out all the details for this artwork. I've been thinking I might make this into a Draw This In Your Style Challenge artwork again. It's been a while since I did one of those. It would be fun. Thanks for listening to the Art Food Podcast. If you want to see the art and video process that I mentioned, check out my YouTube channel at youtube.com/ErgoJosh. For more about me and my artwork, you can find me on Instagram at ergo.josh or head over to my website at ergojosh.com. Have a great rest of your day or night, and I'll see you in the next one. Take care and stay balanced. Peace.